In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Today and tomorrow have been celebrated throughout church history as the eve of the name of Jesus and the circumcision of our Lord. Not too long ago, we did a sermon that talked a lot about the name of Jesus. So today we are going to talk about the circumcision, which can be an awkward, uncomfortable topic to discuss. It's something that we rarely speak about. And that it is such a taboo is kind of strange, because two of the world's major religions, Islam and Judaism, require circumcision of males in their faith. And many other people throughout the world, including Christians like us in North America, practice circumcision for health reasons. Whether or not circumcision has health benefits has been a subject of debate recently. The general consensus, as I understand it, is generally in favor of circumcision at this time. Research seems to indicate that it does help stop the spread of some diseases. But there are some people who are very opposed to that. And there are even surgical procedures now done, sometimes to reverse circumcision. Now, whatever people might think about circumcision, it is a little bit different today than it was in the time of the Bible. Of course, now the equipment and the technology are better. But however, whenever it is done, it is painful and there is blood. Where did circumcision come from anyway? Circumcision was a gift of God. Some gift, we might say. God instructed Abraham to circumcise all the males of his tribe as a sign of the covenant that he had made with them, namely that he would be their God and they would be his people. That the Jews would be circumcised at a time when no one else in the world would serve as a constant physical, visible reminder that the Jews were God's special, unique, chosen people. Circumcision marked the Jews as God's own. Like the experience of circumcision itself, being a Jew, being God's chosen people, often involved pain and bloodshed. And we see that even today. It's been that way throughout their history. There has been warfare, slavery, exile, and much more. Being God's chosen people did not give the Jews super wealth or superpowers. It meant that they were chosen to bring God's Messiah into the world for our salvation. And that is a messy, painful, bloody business. Jesus, God's Messiah, was born into an observant Jewish family. Mary and Joseph had Jesus circumcised on the eighth day after he was born, as the law of Moses required for all Hebrew baby boys. What an incredible foreshadowing there. Baby Jesus, only 8 days old, for the sake of the law, suffers pain and sheds his blood, just as he would 33 years later on the cross for the sake of our salvation. Just as circumcision identified the Jews as God's covenant people, so does our faith in Christ's atoning death mark us as the people of the New Testament. So why don't we Christians require circumcision? In a world such as ours, where participation in a religion or a church often requires very little commitment, almost no sacrifice, a ritual of circumcision for adults would separate the serious believers from the half-hearted. As it is, though, circumcision is part of what we call the Old Testament's ceremonial law. When God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, he went on to give him over 600 more laws for the Jews to live by. Some were moral laws, such as, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not steal. Other laws concerned rituals and ceremonies. These included things like not eating shellfish and not wearing garments of mixed fibers. And some laws dealt with social interactions, such as how to determine if a disease is leprosy or how to punish criminals. As Christians, we are only obliged to follow the moral law of the Old Testament. You can eat clams and lobster, and you can wear cotton poly clothes, but you can't murder people or lie about them. Nothing is a surer sign of bad theology than when someone tells you that committing adultery is no worse than eating shrimp. Don't fall for it. That's not why Jesus died. When Jesus died, he fulfilled all the law. He took all the guilt that we incurred from breaking the law upon himself, and he put it to death. The merit Jesus earned, the atonement he won for us, is communicated to us. It's transferred to us in holy baptism. Baptism for the Christian serves a similar purpose as circumcision did for the Jew. Both are gifts marking us as God's people. But now that Jesus is born, now that Christ has come into our world, the old covenant of the law is passed, and we live in the age of grace and faith. Early on in the Christian church, there were those who insisted that all Christians must be circumcised. Paul and others, moved by the Spirit, declared that circumcision was no longer necessary. The debate got so intense that Paul actually wrote that he wished that those who wanted circumcision would mutilate themselves. We are not saved by a mark on our flesh. We are saved by faith in Christ. Even today, there are those who try to force things like circumcision on us. They say that to be a Christian, you have had to have a certain conversion experience, or you have to manifest a certain spiritual gift, or you have to support a certain cultural and social agenda. Don't fall for that either. Salvation comes through faith in Christ alone, not faith in Christ plus this or faith in Christ plus that. Christ alone spilled his blood for us, first at his circumcision and then ultimately on the cross. The name of Jesus is the name alone at which all beings in heaven and on earth and under the earth will someday kneel, some in reverent praise, and some in fear of their judgment. Judgment is another awkward, uncomfortable, taboo subject in society today. But we need to let the world know about God's love and the great danger of dismissing his spilled blood as inconsequential. We are blessed to know that Jesus is the name of our salvation. And that is why we celebrate this day. That is what we proclaim. All power, glory, and might be to him now and forever. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.